verse of scripture that we find in Romans chapter 12. After this week, we're going to be going to the book of Daniel. We're going to discover some things from the book of Daniel. The Lord is leading us to that particular book that we can study it, and we can know that God is speaking and helping us in these last and evil days. By the way, I'm a Lynchburg College graduate, and I'm a CVCC graduate. Amen. I know Larry James got A and T on. That's all right. We forgive him. We love him anyway. Everybody said, we love you, Larry. Amen. And Lee Byrne, I think he's got Fayetteville State. Y'all shout out some rest of them. What other colleges? UVA? Anybody UVA? Oh. Shout them out. All right. Well, this is College Day, and we celebrate that. We thank God for being able to enter into the house of worship. And higher education has been and will continue to be one of the means by which we can not only fulfill the dreams, but also become everything that we need to be in life. You know, as Benjamin Hook said, a mind is the terrible thing to waste. So please, if you have that opportunity, attend a college or university that you can grow and learn more. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And by the way, thank y'all for coming out and in the weather and enduring all of the struggles to get here. But now that we're here, we're going to have church. Amen? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every one that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. From this verse, we just like to lift a thought for today, the shape of your faith. The shape of your faith. You may be seated. Lord God Almighty, we thank you again for this wonderful privilege that we have of entering into your courts with praise and thanksgiving on our lips and a song in our heart. Thank you for the amazing things that you've done. We bless your name, and we ask that you would now speak to our hearts. Let us know the truth of your word, that the truth would set us free. God, I pray you'd bless as only you can do. Change us by what we hear. And Lord, please change us for the good. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. The point of this message is to help us understand that we need strong faith, but that we also need to understand that it's given for a reason, a certain outcome. Faith is not just something we have to possess to help us to hold on, but it's to help us to know the acceptable, the good, and the perfect will of God. Is that all right? When you have faith, you're able to know that God is real, even though you can't see him. When you have faith, you know that you can endure a hardship, even though you know that it may require all of your strength when you got faith. When you don't have faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. For everyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what faith does. So it would be good for us to understand, what shape is your faith in? Is your faith in good shape? Some of you may have already done it this year. You may have gone to see your physician to get what you call the annual checkup. Some of you may have entered into a gymnasium or someplace where you go and you try to work out and get your body in shape. You want to be in good shape, right? What about your faith? What about you believing and trusting in the living God? What shape is your faith in? I got this graphic up when I started the preparing for the message. I was able to find this graphic, and a lot of us, we're hoping that we can lift weights. I'm trying. So far, I'm at 3 pounds. I'm trying. And I'm also hoping that maybe, you know, we can trim a little bit off the midsection and get back in shape. It's important to us. Your life depends on how healthy you are and how much you're able to do certain things. I don't think I'm doing bad. My wife said I could do better, but that's another story for another time. But it is absolutely critical that your faith works. If it fails you, you fail. And one of the things that Paul tells us in these verses is that faith has been given to us. So there are certain expectations that we have. When you look at faith and how we apply it, a lot of people say, well, okay, I'm going to do this because it's going to benefit me. And believe it or not, a lot of people think that everything in the Bible is supposed to be a blessing to them. But no, the Bible says you ought to be a blessing also. Granted, you got to be blessed before you can bless. But you ought to be a blessing also. We'll get into some things. Then we have the world's expectation. Many believe that it's through the world that they're going to be able to achieve success, to achieve goals in life. And then lastly, we want to know, what does God expect from me? What is he requiring of my hand? Here's how it breaks down. Self says, I want what's easy. I want what comes almost without any effort at all. I want to be in good health and I want to have lots of money. That is basically how people believe today. That is what we call the direction of their faith if you're living in the mode of self. If you're trying to do things just to please your own self, those are going to be the main goals. Those are going to be the things that you will strive for in life. The world says, indulge, just do what you want to do. Go on and eat that piece of cake. Matter of fact, eat the whole cake. Like they say, have your cake and eat it too. Indulge. The world says, if you do what we say, we will be able to give you a lot of stuff. You'll be able to get gain. You can prosper. But the world also says, you got to comply with our rules. Paul brings that out in that second verse. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we have God's expectation. Have you ever thought about why God created you? And I think I had you do this a couple of Sundays ago. You need to say to yourself, I am not a failure. I make mistakes, I fall down, but I am not a failure because I had a master designer who made me. The Bible says, know ye that he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. God says, I created you. And when he created everything, he said, it's good. But we were created to serve him. When we serve him, that's really where we find our abilities. That's really where we find out that there are things that we can do by our service to God and our service to one another. And finally, when we look at the things of God, he says, I want a holy vessel. And that holy doesn't mean to look weird and act weird. It simply means to be set apart for God's purpose. To know that he's the one controlling our lives. And the measure of holiness is really love. Because you know why? God is love. Amen. Love ye one another. There are expectations that you have. There are things that you could apply your faith in doing. But I can guarantee you, you will not get the outcomes that you desire unless you are doing it God's way. These verses, I notice when we come to them, it talks about the will of God. It talks about what is God willing for my life. And a lot of us, we search for it. We say, I want to know the will of God. You can only know the will of God when you commit yourself to Him. Then you will know the perfect and the good will of God. This verse says that you've been given a measure of faith. You might not think it. You may have gone through a crisis in your life and you've felt weak. But really, as long as you put your hand in God's hand, as long as you said, I know that God's going to make a way for me. And guess what? You're still here. You're still here. You may not have done as well as you thought in the problem or in the situation, but you are still here, and that is something to thank God for. How many of you ever thought that we would be in the year of 2025? My wife and I were talking about it the other day. I never thought I'd be in my 70s and feeling good, by the way. But I know there are certain things that we have to do if we're going to maintain that status, if we're going to feel good and to be able to be in good health and to be in spiritually good health. We've got to do certain things. We've got to make sure that we're living according as God has given us the measure of faith. So he says, I say through the grace given unto me to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to be sober-minded. That sobriety that he's talking about is not the sobriety that says, well, you've got something in you that's wrong. The sobriety test that God puts to you, you've got something he's deposited in you that makes you right with God. And when you think about that, when you think about of what you're doing, you can't pat yourself on the back. You've got to say, to God be the glory. As Skylar said in her prayer, to God be the glory. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Know the one that brought you this far on your journey. As you think about that, you'll be able to grow in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I'm going to look at a couple of things today. One is we're going to look at what we call the action. Everybody say action. What is the action that this verse is telling you and these verses are telling you? The action is present your body to God. Present your body. Present everything you've got. Deuteronomy says you give him your mind, you give him your soul, you give him your strength, you give him your body. You give God everything. That is what you present unto God, and that is your action. Every time you come to worship, every time you say, I'm going to pray, you're giving yourself to God. The question is, how much? How much? A lot of us, we like to, like me, my wife had to convince me it's better to fill up the tank than to get $5 worth of gas. Took me a long time. I pull up to the tank and I said, you know what? I'm just going to put in $5 worth. Not knowing that the next day or so, you got to come right back and put some more in. Yeah, it took me a long time. Amen. But how often do we come to church spiritually and we get $5 worth or the equivalent, just a little bit of religion? How often do we come and just pray just enough to get past what we're going through? How often do we limit God? When we come into the place of worship, all I want is for him to bless me. You ought to come and ask God for a full tank. You ought to ask God to make that cup run over. You ought to ask Lord to pour it on you till you can't stand it. Why? Because it's needed in these dangerous times. You can't live on half religion. You can't go on knowing part of the word. You got to know the truth in order for the truth to set you free. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, the question is, if you've got this measure of faith, what can that faith do? What can that faith do? What can it accomplish? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. I like the sound of that. Don't you like the sound of, I can do all things. How? Through Christ, who gives me the strength. Some of you are going through something right now, and you're saying, I don't know whether I can do it. You can do it. How do I know it? The Bible said you can do it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Get the action part. That is to present your body. But then there is the outcome. What is the outcome? That you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable will of God. The outcome is not you're going to get your program is going to be successful, or you're going to be able to achieve this certain goal. The outcome of everything that you do spiritually is to know the acceptable and the perfect and the good will of God. If you got that, everything else going to fall in line. I said everything else is going to fall in line. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. Can somebody say amen? So you got to know it. You got to know what the outcome. There are a lot of people at the beginning of the year, they make these resolutions and they set these goals. In the Bible, you got one goal, and that's to please God. One goal. Don't confuse yourself with everything else. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. You know you ain't going to lose 50 pounds. And I'm not saying you need to gain, but I'm saying, you know, just maintain. Just say, you know, I ain't looking no worse. You've got to have certain outcomes that you're looking at. And here, ladies and gentlemen, we see the tool to work with. If you're going to achieve the goal, if you're going to reach that outcome, and if you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice, God says, I will give you the tool to work with, and it is your faith. When your faith is applied into every situation that God sends you into, you're going to be an overcomer. No doubt about it. You're going to be able to achieve exactly what God called you to do. So hear the verse one more time. I beseech you therefore, brethren. This is Paul now. By the mercies of God that you present what? Your bodies. What? A living sacrifice. How? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, be not conformed. Let's get into that. Amen. Because a lot of us, we have the problem of conformity. So the first thing is to commit to God. The second thing is don't let the world shape you. Don't let the world shape you or force you into its mold. I worked in manufacturing for a little while, and part of what they were doing, they would have to shape these things called these molds, and they would have these things they pour iron into, and then they would be able to come out with a shape of something, a metal object that they would then put other connections to it, and it would work. Is the world going to shape you, or is God going to shape you? Is the world going to say to you, this is who you are, this is what you do, these are your limitations, or are you going to trust God who says to you, you can do the impossible if you trust in me? Which one are you going to go with? Do not be conformed to the world, but what? Be transformed. Now, I didn't get into a lot of this in my notes, but the transformation that happens is miraculous. Now, I want to say another word to you. You are a miracle. You probably didn't think that, did you? You are a miracle. God made you, and he made you to live this miraculous life. Do you believe it? Or are you just going, well, I'm just me? You're limiting yourself. You're saying what you can't do. You're saying what the world says about you. God says you can do all things. No matter what you face in life, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. So it's a matter of conformity. Am I going to conform with him and what he says, or am I going to conform with the world and get the outcome that God says? I'm going to go with God. How many of y'all vote for God? The eyes have it, amen? The eyes have it. So when we do that, ladies and gentlemen, then God begins to work in our life, and believe it or not, we're thinking differently. We're thinking differently. We're acting differently. Normally, we would respond a certain way and get upset when things don't go our way, but now we've got the peace of God on the inside that said, you can take it. Ah, we didn't like that one. When folk begin to talk about you, you can tell yourself, "I ain't gonna get mad. I'm not gonna give an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. You know what? I'm gonna keep my teeth in my mouth, and I'm going to just obey God and serve Him anyway, because God is real." Think soberly. Think with a mind that is correctly thinking. Don't think revenge. Don't think payback. Think, "Lord, thank you for another day." Every day that we get up, we ought to be grateful in our heart that the Lord has given us another day. So here's how you shape your faith. Here's how you show to the world and you prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Number one, you've got to go by the Word. In the Old Testament, the Word would tell us you do things according to the law, but in the New Testament, it tells us do things according to Christ. As Christ was in the world, so are you. So how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Every time God speaks to you in this Word and you instantly get an understanding in your mind, that's God building your faith. That's God telling you that obstacle that you're facing, that problem that you're now going through, God's going to take care of it. How many times have you said to yourself, when you had to deal with something impossible, "I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know God's got it in His hand"? How many times have you said that? Now, what gave you that confidence? You heard the Word. You heard God speaking to your heart, and you knew that the Lord was going to work it out. How many of y'all have faced things and you've said, "Well, you know what? I'm just going to depend on God." And sure enough, you kept walking by faith, and all of a sudden, things just fell in place. It just began to happen. You know why? Because the Lord was walking with you. Anytime you got the Word, you got God. Let me say that again. Some of y'all missed that. Anytime you have God's Word, you have God operating in His Word. So the question is, do you want the Word inside of you? If you want the Word inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to live this miraculous and this wonderful life. It's going to get rough sometime, but guess what? Rough hills are nothing, because you know that through the strength of God, you can be able to face anything that you need. Mark this down in your Bible. The Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here's how you work it out. Here's how you say to yourself, "Now I'm going through a problem. I'm facing something in my life. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to God's Word, and I'm going to say, 'Lord, show me what I need in my life right now to build me up. I'm feeling weak, but your Word says it will help me to be strong.'" When you begin to pray that unto God and say, "Lord, your Word says you're my shepherd, I'm going to believe that you're my shepherd." If you're walking in the dark, that's what the Word says. "The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Guess what the Word says? You don't fear man, you fear God. Because He's the one that made you. Man might be able to destroy the body, but God is the one that keeps your soul. And you just got to trust Him. You know, I've said something. I told my wife the other day, I don't expect for people to change that much because we're living in the end time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lower my expectation of people and let them surprise me if they do what's right. But I'm going to raise my expectations of God, because I know that He's always come through. Now, I haven't lived as long as my mom and daddy, but I've lived these years that I have lived, and He never failed me yet. Amen. And some of you probably say to yourself, "It's been hard sometimes, but God never failed me yet. I failed Him. I messed up with Him, but He didn't mess up with me." And guess what? Even when you were in your mess, God picked you up and turned you around anyhow. God straightened things out that you messed up. "The Lord brought me a mighty long way." Go on and say, "The Lord brought me a mighty long way." You got to have some strong faith. These are days that you're going to be tested. And when they come to test you, already know the answer. Guess what the answer is? Oh, it is Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. But then the Bible also said that you have the Holy Spirit. When you were called into this faith, and the one who helps you to use your faith is the Holy Spirit. You can't see Him. But when you ask Christ into your life, guess who came in? The Holy Spirit. He was sent back from Jesus. Matter of fact, when Jesus got up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, the Holy Ghost got up and came down and sat down in your life. Now he's asking us, what are you going to do? If you trust him, he'll lead you every step of the way. Many of us have this, this cosmic belief about the Holy Spirit. He's something strange. No, he's a person. I said he's a person. He is God. And he comes into your life. He said, now I'll guide you into all truth. I'll show you the way. I'll light up things around you so that you'll know. How many of y'all ever had the Holy Spirit to whisper to you about certain people that, you know, they were, you know, a little bit shady? And God didn't want you to get tripped up by them. Now, I don't want you to be, you know, I don't want you to be this attitude where you know, paranoid and everything about that. I don't want you going around trying to find a demon on every corner. But I do want you to realize everybody ain't your friend. And there are folk that not going to like you no matter what you do. Quit trying to please them and make it your goal to please God. If you please God, God will keep you every step of the way. I learned a whole lot a long time ago that, you know, you got to stop doing things for folk and you do it because you love the Lord. Everything you do it because you love God. And you really want to be in his service just one more time. Oh, I'm glad about it. I said, I'm glad about it. When you know the one that sets you free. Ah, can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. I don't have a question about who I am because I know I'm God's child. And if you forget that, the Holy Ghost will remind you, this is who you are. And this is what you need to do to keep on walking. Look at somebody. Give them a high five. Say, keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on living. You've got to remember who he is and remember what he's doing in your life. And it goes on to say that don't be shaped by the world. The world is going to try to feed you everything. You know, I take it with a grain of salt. Some people worried about the outcome of the election. You can't change that. Come on now, I done dug somebody's business. What are they going to do now? We're going to trust God like we've always been doing. What are you talking about? All things are possible, right? Instead of you worrying about that, you worried about what God can do in your life. Because he can work miracles. Man, I'm telling you, I got a sermon for y'all next Sunday. Can you handle the impossible? You got to know where your help comes from. All of my help comes from the Lord. Getting ready to close here. Notice the Bible warns us, don't be conformed by the world. There are ideologies and philosophies out there floating around. You can get them on your social media. You can get all these thoughts. You can let it shape your mind if you want to. Some of it, when I hear it, okay, that sounds good, but let me hear something that's not only good, but it's great. You ever like how many of y'all like Frosted Flakes? You know, Tony the Tiger, he says that it's not just good. Yeah. Hey, when they were making the commercial, no, it's great. You serve a great God, and he wants to do great things in our lives. And that's the only thing, ladies and gentlemen. Paul was pleading with us, if you allow the things of Rome in that day, if you allow the things of Rome to shape your mind and your outcome, you're going to be bowing down to Rome. But if you want God to shape the outcome of your life, bow down to him. Submit to him. And this thing about transformation. The word actually means metamorphosis. And when you go in through to this metamorphosis, you think about a cocoon and a worm that actually makes his cocoon. He doesn't make it so that the outcome will be he'll be another worm. Now, if you watch it, they'll make that cocoon, and all of a sudden they go through a transformation from the inside out. Are y'all with me? And what comes out of the cocoon is not a worm squirming and trying to get somewhere, but it begins to stretch its wings and flap its wings, because it's been made into a new creature. What am I saying? God designed that illustration to tell the church what you could be and what you will be if you do things my way. But if you act like a worm, you're going to crawl on the ground. But if you act like God is doing something in my life. What was that verse that we just heard? You will mount up with wings like an eagle. You will fly. You will be able to walk and not be weary and to not faint in life, because you know God made me. I said, God made us. You got to know him for yourself. I don't ever let people call me out of my name, because you know what? I can't hear that well anyway. So I always have this internal voice. They might call me a worm, but I know I'm a butterfly. I know anytime I get ready, I can just go on, fly on about my business. Forget all about that. Am I right about it? So I close by telling you, if you want God to shape your faith, don't be conformed to this world, but allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, to make you from the inside out, to give you that newness in your mind. Old thinking will get you in trouble. All right? Some of y'all, you're finding it hard to write 2025, because by habit, you still think it's 2024. Flip the page, please. You're on a new page now. You're in a new day now. You can't live like, amen, you can't live like you still 18. If you turn the numbers around, you 81. Anybody listening to me? I start said, touch your neighbor and say, act your age, but I don't know. Transformation has to take place in your heart. And if you allow God to do his work, he will certainly make of you what you could never make of yourself. As we get ready to close this prayer, I want to give you the illustration of two people. They came to know God, but then they didn't really live that abundant life that God had for them. One was by the name of King Saul in the Old Testament. Saul was the first anointed leader of the nation of Israel, but he could never get his walk right with God. He started off being humble. He started off saying, I'm going to do things God's way, but then he started listening to people, conforming the mind to what they were thinking. Next thing you know, Saul is doing half of what God says and more of what man said, and it got him in trouble. He was jealous of people who had an anointing. How many times have you gotten upset because somebody in the choir sung your song? Whoop, did I step into something, huh? How many times have you got upset where maybe you didn't get the same response from everybody that somebody else got? Don't get upset about that. Look up to heaven and say, Lord, you saw it, and you bless me. Saul got into trouble because he failed to keep his eyes on God. And it brought him down. It brought him down. At the end of his life, he couldn't even hear from God. And there's one thing I know that I need to live on. I got to hear from him. Even when I don't do everything I want that I need to do, I still need to get on my knees and hear him say, I forgive you. Because we're all learning. There's not a soul in here who can brag about, well, I'm living so good, I don't have to ask for forgiveness. Well, my hat's off to you. I ain't got there yet. But I tell you one thing, I try my best to please him. But to know that you hear from God is a wonderful thing. Saul could never get it together. And guess what? He died in battle because he failed to trust God. You don't want to die on the battlefield of life. You want to have enough faith for you to endure every hardship. Second person in the Old Testament that we learn about is a guy by the name of Jonah. Remember him, big fish? Guess how he got swallowed by the fish? Doing something that God didn't want him to do, going in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. Next thing you know, God said, I got to get him on track. Let me get a fish to take him back to where he needs to be. You don't want God to turn you around. It's better if you just listen to his voice and you turn around on your own. Can I get some witnesses? Jonah had a bigger problem than the big fish. He was swallowed up into this thought. Certain folk wasn't good enough to be blessed. That's what he thought. These folks from Nineveh, those downtown folk, they ain't worth it. You got to be like us uptown people. And God had to correct him. God had to say to Jonah, I'll have mercy on who I want to have mercy. And just as a survey, how many of y'all glad he had mercy on you? When you were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, how many know that God had mercy on me? I don't stand here today preaching to you because I got it all together, but I know somebody that has it all together. I stay in his presence. And I need him every day. And I need him every hour. Jonah left this world, as far as we know, bitter because God wanted to forgive a certain group of people. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us are on a short trip through this world. You really ain't got time to be a hater. Y'all listen to me? You ain't got time carrying around bitterness in your life. Love people. Forgive yourself. Hold your head up. Act like you know, even if you don't know everything, you know something. And God will bless you. What's the shape of your faith today? Do you really trust him? Let's pray this prayer together. Father in heaven, we trust you to shape our faith. Please forgive us for allowing the world to influence our lives. Make us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Then use us in a way that builds your kingdom here on earth. Make our hearts pure, our minds clear, and our service pleasing in your sight. Amen. Father, I thank you again for your love and grace. I pray for those that are online that are listening. I ask that you would bless them and give them the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let them know that you're here walking with us, letting us know and reminding us that we are your own. Keep us forever in your grace. Guide us by your divine eye. And Lord, we'll forever give you the praise. And if there's somebody here, Lord, that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, would you speak to their heart, turn them around, and bring them to you? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to have the altar call before we close today. But again, I want to thank you all for coming out, being a part of these services. How many of y'all got blessed today? I know there were some that could not come out today because of the weather, and certainly we want you to make sure that you're doing things safely. But for those of you that are online, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of our worship services. We are praying for you as well as those who are in attendance in here. And we also have the opportunity to honor God in our giving. We give because we love the Lord. And we know that he will always bless us. So we encourage you at the end of the service to please give. You have a source online that you can go to, our website, and it will direct you on that. But I'm so glad to be among God's folk. Amen. I'm so glad to be here. want to get us all as we get some walking music. We've come this far by faith.
The church say amen. We got to treat everybody right until we die. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we come gathered here at your throne of grace, Lord, we first of all thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then, Father God, we just thank you because Christ came, hung, bled, and died that we might have the gift of eternal life. Fathers, we assembled here at this altar, those standing in the pews. Lord, we come thanking you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And Lord, we ask your covering upon each individual assembled here today and those that are online. Lord God, we ask that you would order our steps, God. Direct our pathway. And Lord, let our minds be transformed by the renewing of your word. Cleanse us from the inside out that we may walk according to your plan. And then, Father, give us insight to seek thee daily Matter of fact, Lord, let us seek you every hour. Lord, that you may order our steps and direct our pathway. Father, bless these students. Lord, give them direction on the path which you would have them to travel. And then, Father, put the right people in their lives that they may be a blessing and guide them. But, Father God, keep your hand in their hands that they may walk according to your plan. And, Father, before we leave this place, before we leave this branch of Zion, Father, we ask that you will go before us and prepare the way. Father, give us direction in our walk, in our talk, and in our thinking. And then, Father, we ask that you will bless the offering, Lord God, that we're about to receive, that it may be a blessing and used for the upbuilding of your kingdom here on earth. Father God, we thank you, we love you, and we praise your holy name. For it's in the blessed name of Christ we come with thanksgiving. And let the blood wash, born again believer, declare with a loud shout, hallelujah, amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. Shake somebody's hand, tell them, let them know that God loves you, and so do I. I want to just thank all of those that were here to bless the Pollard family. Thank the Lord for them, and praise God. We'll keep praying for you. Pray for Brother David Easley. Lost his brother. The memorial service will be later on this week. So pray for Brother Easley.